a player on the Dolphins, everybody seems to like Fitzmagic. Everybody likes the what he brings to a locker room. He seems like a really fun guy. He's a real cerebral guy. He's a smart guy. He led the Dolphins to a better-than-expected season last year, and I know that's weird considering where they drafted, but still, they were expected to be picking first overall. But then they get a quarterback who everybody knows is the future, and he's in the locker room. He's kind of learning on the fly, but as the losses mount up, it becomes more and more likely he gets in there. What do you think guys think of when they're watching it where they know that any week there can be a turn at quarterback?
Well, you know, as a player, you know, you're in there just to do your job. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times those quarterback situations and things of that nature, those kind of go over the head of even the head coach. You know what I'm saying? So at this moment where you have, like you said, Fitzpatrick, he's a vet. Pretty sure he has a strong voice in the locker room. You know, he's been around the block a few times. I guess, you know, maybe the coaches just say, look, we're going to see how long we can ride this train. And like you said, if the losses mount up, you know, we'll put the young guy in and see if he can give us a spark. Or it could be a situation where, you know, obviously we, the coaches and the staff, have seen Tua in training camp, and maybe they just don't think that, that he's ready at the moment. So it could be a number of things, but I'm pretty sure if the losses mount up, I'm pretty sure we'll see Tua pretty soon.
Yeah, pretty good facial hair matchup, though, between these two quarterbacks tonight. I don't know if you saw the story yesterday, Antoine, about Tyrod Taylor and what actually happened to him before that game on the weekend that necessitated Justin Herbert starting. But, you know, all we heard before the game was he was having, like, heart palpitations or something, some chest pain. Turns out that he was getting an injection for his rib pain, and the doctor punctured his lung, and now there's all kinds of stories coming out about this doctor and what kind of a sordid past he has. Going back in your experience, have you ever had a team doctor, ever been treated by somebody who was sanctioned by your team, and you were like, I don't know about this guy, I guess I got to because the team says so, but you ever like scratch your head about what you were being treated for by that guy?
I haven't. You know, obviously, you know, in the league, you know, everybody, especially like when you get injured, you're allowed for your second opinion. But as far as these type of things where, you know, it's before the game, you know, you're getting this injection, you're putting your trust into the team and the team doctor. So, again, like you just stated, just as far as like his sketchy past, man, that's crazy. Just as far as all the things that's come up in the past. So, this story, I'm pretty sure, is going to get very interesting. And, you know, Tyrod, he's from – we grew up in the same area, so definitely, you know, speedy recovery to my guy.
Yeah, I feel horrible for Taylor. And, like, I'll just read it for the audience what some of these things are. So this Chargers doctor, before he punctured Tyrod Taylor's lung, again, trying to administer a pain-killing injection, had two DUIs. Okay. Rated by the DEA for writing himself 108 prescriptions. That seems like a disqualifier for an NFL job. I just got to say, like, I don't know how else you could possibly get a job. He has malpractice for severing a patient's artery. Like, okay,
also
that's bad. Malpractice lawsuits for multiple career-ending misdiagnoses. Multiple. And he lost his surgery license in 2013. Like, I
listened to the podcast on this guy. This is Dr. Death, right?
Yeah, this is Dr. Death,
he
exactly.
He must know somebody. He has
This is crazy. Like, honestly, this is one of the weirdest stories I can... Man, the NFL has said some weird stuff, and we know about all the shadiness that happened with burying concussions for so long, but I just don't... Like, the NFL is going to have to come up with a pretty damn good explanation as to how this guy was a team doctor. Like, all of those things. Exactly. Hey, this guy lost his surgery license 7 years ago, and he wrote himself 108 prescriptions. And then Tyrod Taylor's like, so you're going to stick that needle in me near my lung that I use to breathe as a pro athlete? Right. He's like, yeah, don't worry about it. I got this. I've done this before. I got it. Like,
Even if they can this guy, if you're a player on that Chargers team, are you, like, what are you thinking the next guy that they hire? Don't you want a full review of everybody that they've hired in the medical field?
Of course. And then it's just been kind of said around. It's just, you know, obviously the past few years, the the Chargers have had a lot of injuries amongst their players. So not to, put fuel on the fire, but it's just one of the things that has you. You just start thinking like, what's going on over there? But like you said, as a player, if I'm in that locker room, that next doctor that they bring in, you definitely going, your antennas are going to go up.
Yeah, you do feel bad for Tyrod Taylor. He's a respected veteran in the league. This was looking like could be his last shot as a starter for an organization. He's with a coach that he knows, and he doesn't really get his opportunity because someone robs him of that, and that feels really bad. But speaking of things like making a mistake and somehow surviving to live another day and keep your job only to make that same mistake again, how can the Falcons keep Dan Quinn moving forward? Like, if you're a player under Dan Quinn, how can you possibly go out and feel like this is the guy I'm going to run through a wall for, that this guy hasn't already murdered our season?
Man, that's a tough situation, man. I don't think they've ever bounced back from that Super Bowl letdown, meltdown. But I think everybody in that organization, coaches and players, got to kind of look themselves in the mirror and ask them, what can I do to get us better? But as a coach, you know, your job is to lead these men and, you know, get these men over the hump. And even some of the veteran guys and the leaders, man, you know, you gotta ask yourself, what can I do? How can I get my guys better? Just looking at that Dallas game, first half, man, those guys were rolling. As far as the Falcons, and then just for you to let up and let Dallas come back the way that they did and the way the game finished as far as that onside kick. It's a lot of people that you can, not really in the finger point business, but it's a lot of people on the staff, on the field that, has to look at themselves and say, what could I have done for us to get that W?
Yeah, you should probably know the rules in regards to the onside kick. You should probably try and touch that football before
seems
the Cowboys
important.
Can. That yeah. seems like a key there. Talking to Antoine Bethea, a former NFL defensive back, Super Bowl champion, and co-host of the Man to Man podcast. And, of course, you can get the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at The Man to Man Pod. How did the podcast come to be, Antoine? Did you always think you were going to make some sort of pivot to media?
I know a lot of people will always ask me, after football, where did I see myself going? And, I played the game for a long time and have a lot of knowledge and, will always like to, give back and just, teach the game to, as far as now the podcast, some of the listeners and myself and Darius Butler, my co-host, we used to play together in Indianapolis. So came together, had an idea. Kind of wanted to give it a different spin where it wasn't all football. It was talking about off the field as well. Obviously, the title, Man to Man. And from there, man, we've been, it's been fun. It's been a fun ride so far. Had some good guests on the show so far. So hopefully we can see where it goes.
Yeah, man. It's exciting. And I would really love it if you did a Marvin Harrison podcast, like, call up your buddy from your old team, maybe go through some things with Marvin. That's like everybody wants more Marvin Harrison content.
Yes.
Absolutely they do. The other one, though, is what do you think will ever get Peyton Manning to do media? Do you think that it ever happens? Because there's always that rumor out there, right, that he's going to be the dude who does Monday Night Football, that they want him to be in a Tony Romo role. But he's so rich. Just so unbelievably rich. He's got all these different businesses. He's basically the face of Papa John's all these years. Like, he does a billion different commercials. Do you think that we ever get to see Peyton Manning in the booth, or is this all just one big tease?
I think so, but I think timing might be might play a big part. I know he has some little ones, and obviously putting so much into the game. Being away from the family, so it could be a timing thing. Again, like you said, he doesn't need to do it. So I just think it would be one of them things where, if you start missing the game and, sitting at the house, he might do it. But I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Why would he do it? This is so great. Everybody talks about how great you are. Everybody is courting you all the time, and then you never have to do it and then maybe not live up to those expectations and maybe some criticism.
Yeah,
he lives in the perfect world. What are we talking about, Antoine?
Yeah.
Sign me up for that.
We'll see.
We'll see. Antoine, thanks so much for doing this. Appreciate it.
Good luck with the podcast, dude.
No problem.
Take care.
Thank you. Appreciate it.